No one plans for hair loss, but through Hims, you can take the next step with confidence. Access treatments made with clinically proven ingredients like finasteride and minoxidil to stop hair loss and regrow hair in 3 to 6 months. No waiting rooms, no hoops, just ingredients with a track record of results. You shouldn't have to go out of your way to feel like yourself. Hims brings expert care straight to you, with 100% online access to personalized treatments that put your goals first. For simple online access to personalized and affordable care for hair loss, ED, weight loss, and more, visit hims.com/Hail Mary. That's hims.com/Hail Mary for your free online visit. hims.com/Hail Mary. Individual results may vary, based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription required. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
Hello, welcome back to another episode of Wisco Fanatics. We are starting at 3:30 this week. I am about 45 seconds late, so I apologize for that. Tyler is dealing with some car issues right now, but he will be on and joining me shortly. We will also have Mike joining both of us. We have 4 Bucks games to cover. I will start with the Spurs game, which happened on the 8th, so a week ago today. Start with that one, and then we will cover the rest of the week. And after that, we will switch to Badgers. We have 2 Badgers games to cover, so let's play the intro and we'll get right into it.
Welcome to another live episode of the Wisco Fanatics Show, where we discuss the Packers, Bucks, Brewers, Badgers football, and basketball from an optimistic perspective. Wisco Fanatics is brought to you by Cardboard Legacy, Wisconsin's most complete sports card shop. Buy, sell, grade, and consign all at their location in Oshkosh.
All right. So like I said before, we're going to start with the Milwaukee Bucks versus San Antonio Spurs. So before I get into my segments and stuff I wanted to cover with this game, just wanted to talk about a discussion that I had with Tyler during this game. So I was watching this game, obviously early in the first quarter, Wembanyama came out, and this was intriguing because you have a guy in Giannis who is looked at as, you know, he's a super athlete. You know, I was having conversations with my dad after this game as well, talking about, you know, Victor is so athletic for how big he is. He's 7'5", and you know, he did the nice little up and under move. He did the one, he does the one like 3-pointer. I mean, for him to have that touch at that size is just, it's amazing. It's impressive. It is it's a spectacle, honestly. It's impressive to see. But you know, while people are all watching that, they kind of forget how athletic and how much Giannis has been treating us for the last 10 years of our lives. You know, he's obviously been in the league a little more than 10 years, but you know, really since 2017, so about the last 8 years, he's really taken a massive jump. He's been one of the best two-way players in the league. He has had some amazing blocks, blocking people going with two hands, going for a dunk, blocking people just simply with a head of steam. I mean, he had one in this game where Vassell is a very athletic player. The Spurs need him on the floor, another guy who can attack the rim. And Giannis just simply said no. So it was just – it's going to be a treat every time that these two match up, and I'm referring to Victor Wembanyama and Giannis Antetokounmpo. So it's going to be something. All right, so so the Milwaukee Bucks versus San Antonio Spurs. The Bucks won this one 121-105. So to get into the first quarter of this game, Giannis absolutely dominated. And like I said earlier, Victor Wembanyama had a couple highlights in the first quarter of this one, but Giannis was the man. He started out playing defense on Wembanyama, showed his strength difference. He dominated with 11 points, 5 rebounds, and 3 assists in the first quarter. He just came out looking to kind of make a statement because he knew the eyes were going to be on this game, right? We have a comment in here, so I will go to the comments. Tyler said, I'm on my way. All right, buddy. So Giannis, 11, 5, and 3 in the first quarter. He absolutely dominated, wanted to make a statement, was guarding Victor Wembanyama pretty much for the entirety of this game, really showing that there are levels to this thing, right? As GA showed that being an All-NBA player isn't just from pure athleticism and size. Damian Lillard, he ended up being the leading scorer for the Milwaukee Bucks in this one. He had 26 points, 5 rebounds, and 8 assists, 8 of 13 from the floor, 4 of 7 from 3. And the amazing part for me is he didn't score until the 10:46 mark in the second quarter. So he didn't score at all in the first quarter, and he still ended up being the leading scorer for the Milwaukee Bucks. Brooke Lopez had a good game himself, 22 points, 7 rebounds, and an assist. 17 of his 22 came in the first half as he was just, you know, lighting it up from outside. Same with Dame and A.J. Green as well. So talking about A.J. Green, the bench scored 45 points, had 23 rebounds and 8 assists, 16 of 37 from the field, and 9 of 20 from three-point range. Now, 8 of those 9 threes came from 2 players. One, Gary Trent Jr., 4 for 4, so absolutely spectacular from him. He's been on a pretty good hot streak as of late. And A.J. Green, 4 of 7 overall from 3, 4 of 5 in the first half. He had a couple of disgusting highlight reel threes in the first half. He had one where he just caught it in the corner and just shot it over an outstretched arm of a 7'5 Wembanyama. That was amazing. And then Giannis had the block at the rim, like I talked about on Vassell. And A.J. Green hit a 30-footer in that place. The forum was electric after that three-pointer. Follower of the show was at the game, posting lots of photos of A.J. Green. And I saw it today. What was the name of it? Dang it. I thought I took a picture of it. No, I did not. There's a page on X and on Instagram. And, they called it the combo of A.J. Green and Giannis. They called it Greek yogurt. And I was like, oh, I'm going to be pushing this agenda so hard. Almost like when I heard Dairy Bird and Milk Mamba, I was like, oh, those got to stick, right? But Greek yogurt, what an amazing nickname for those two. So we get into the efficiency of this game. So on the drive, the Bucks ended up scoring 30 points. Dame and Giannis had 22 of the 30, and they were very efficient. On catch and shoots, we scored 48 points. Chris Middleton was 1 for 4, and Torian Prince was 2 for 6. Everybody else was very efficient, at least at 50%. Those two kind of struggled just on this night. I don't use this segment that I get the honor to cover. I don't use this segment to down anybody. Just, you know, today wasn't their day, or today they were spectacular is really what I'm trying to look for. Look at the shots that they're taking. Chris Middleton, he got stuck at the end of the shot clock twice, so he had to take some tough jumpers. But, you know, we've seen him make plenty of those as well. Pull-ups, the Bucks scored 23 points. Giannis and Dame had 16 of the 23, and they were both 50% from the field on pull-ups. So Giannis's mid-range is still holding strong. He's still been very efficient with it and picking the right times to do it. Giannis catching the ball at elbow extended is something that I don't think Doc gets enough credit for, in my opinion. So Tyler and I have had lots of discussions about, you know, where, you know, when Doc came in, he came in and he talked to Giannis and said, where do you want to catch the ball? And Giannis really didn't have a clear answer from what I remember. Tyler will be able to clean that up when he gets here. But Giannis getting the ball at free throw line extended, left elbow, top of the key, right elbow, giving him more space to attack, but also forcing him to be in a spot where he could take that shot now. So he could pull up from mid-range, which makes you have to play up on him. You can't just sag back and build a wall on Giannis anymore. It's not going to work because he will pull that mid-range and he will hit it. And this is a discussion for a lot of people that I don't think they're comfortable with having is – they may not, you know, all of last year we heard about it, you know, they didn't like the Jrue Holiday for Damian Lillard trade, obviously, because, you know, hindsight's 2020, and they didn't like the how the team was playing last year, basically. And what trading for Damian Lillard did is it gave us a bona fide floor stretcher, right? It gave us another three-point shooter. Brooke Lopez has been tremendous, kind of up and down, I guess I should say. But, you know, since he's got here, he's been tremendous at spacing the floor. Same thing with Bobby Bobby Portis, same thing with Gary Trent Jr. this year. AJ Green has been a sight for sore eyes at times. Torian Prince started out the season on a heater. He's kind of cooled off, but he's still, you know, giving us hard, tough minutes on the defensive end, in my opinion. And he makes educated, high IQ passes, in my opinion. But having all that space where everybody's outside the perimeter and then just letting Giannis work from the free throw line down has really catapulted his game and his efficiency, honestly. Yeah, he can finish at the rim, but giving him the option to pull up from mid-range is just it's otherworldly, and it makes him tougher to guard. My boy's here. I'm going to add him in. There he is.
I'm here.
Finishing up, and then you can give your thoughts. So then in the paint, the Bucks scored 16 points. The thing that I wrote down here, when I went back and looked at the shot chart, is Giannis and Bobby missed, you know, couple easy bunnies, but I'm not really going to complain because they were so efficient in other areas. So, the Bucks kind of took it to the Spurs in this one. So that's what I got. Also Andre Jackson Jr. only played 11 minutes. So everybody was, I saw some people saying stuff about, oh, he's not scoring. He's not going to be an efficient player. He's not going to be able to remain a starter because he didn't score. He only played 11 minutes. Okay. So
they literally swapped Chris Middleton out of the starting lineup, and Andre Jackson Jr. was originally put in the starting lineup for his defense.
Yep.
That's why we know he's there, is because he's a hustle guy. He can pass. He's got a little bit of passing ability, and he plays with energy.
Yeah,
on both ends, and especially in transition. That's why he was put in the starting lineup. It's really nothing more than that. It's nothing like they expected him to make this many threes or this many, you know, dunks or anything like that. Anything he gives you offensively is just gravy on top.
For sure.
So for me, starting with the three-point shooting, 19 of 42 is beautiful. Yeah. Yeah, that's why I'm late. I was dealing with my wife's car, having some car troubles, so that's why I was late. But I'm here now. So
you're here now. That's all that matters.
Damian Lillard and AJ Green were 4 for 7. Gary Trent Jr. 4 for 4. Brooke Lopez 5 for 11. Turnovers only 10. That's very good. 11 points off turnovers. That's great. I'm very happy with that. I'd take that every single game.
Yes.
Now we got Giannis versus Wemby. Wemby shot 4 of 10 from the field, 2 for 6 in the three-point line, scored 10 points. 5 of them came in the first minute and 38 seconds.
Yep.
He had 7 points in the first quarter, or in the first 6 minutes of the first quarter, and then scored 3 points for the rest of the game. Wemby was 2 for 3 versus Giannis. He was 1 for 1 versus Ajax. He was 2 for 4 versus Brooke Lopez. He was 0 for 3 versus Chris Middleton, surprisingly.
Oh, wow.
And then Giannis was 5 for 9 against Wemby, plus 2 assists. Giannis was 4 for 7 versus Harrison Barnes and 1 for 4 versus Keldon Johnson. Did have 3 assists, though. So, guys.
And Giannis and Wemby were in a commercial together. Did you see that one?
I did not see that one, actually.
They were talking about NBA basketball returning to NBC and also on Peacock coming up here. And Giannis, Wemby, and they had to add in Jason Tatum, I guess, to the commercial. But, yeah, so that was a pretty good commercial. It was pretty funny. You'll have to look that up.
Other parts of this game, Bobby Portis, we've had this. We've had this conversation. He's got to let the game come to him.
Yeah.
And not be forcing shots. First half, forcing shots, dribbling too much. You know, and it's the lack of consistency that comes back, unfortunately. Just let the game come to him. We've had this conversation so many times. Like, Bobby is an energy guy. The ball finds energy. Just trust your teammates that you're going to get the ball back. You don't have to shoot the ball every time you touch it.
I agree.
Looking at it, second quarter is when the Bucks locked in defensively, forced 9 straight misses by the Spurs, went on a 15-0 run during that time. This is the first game of this whole week that Damian Lillard looks back.
Yeah.
8 of 13 from the field, 4 of 7 from 3, 6 for 6 at the free throw line. Love that. Now, I didn't tell you that I have these, but I have some third quarter and fourth quarter three-point shooting numbers as of this game last Wednesday.
Okay.
Because I wanted to look it up because I feel like – I felt like Gary Trent Jr. is just splashing every three that he takes in the third quarter. So I went and looked it up. Gary Trent Jr. shooting 54.3% on threes in the third quarter. AJ Green, 51.4%. Damian Lillard, 45.8%. Brooke Lopez, 25.9%. Not great. Bobby Portis, 13.6%.
Oh, Bobby.
So he's 3 of 22 in the third quarters of games. So, Bobby, if you're shooting threes, not in the third quarter.
Either that or just improve on that number, man.
Yeah, I mean, it is what it is. Chris Middleton is 29.4%. He's 5 for 17. Also has 17 assists and only 2 turnovers plus 4 steals in the third quarter. So he's got that going for him, I guess. But that number, as it increases, I expect that percentage to go up. Fourth quarter, three-point percentages. Ajax is actually 57.1% on threes in the fourth quarter. He's 4 for 7, so small sample size. AJ Green, 46.9%. Bobby Portis, 44.7%. So he's shooting well. Okay. That's good to see. Brett, welcome. Welcome. Chris Middleton, 42.9% in the fourth quarter. Brooke Lopez, 41.4%. Gary Trent Jr., 36.7%. Torian Prince, 36.4%. And Dame is 21.7%. Now, I think some of that is a little skewed as to the quality of some of the shots that Dame's getting when he's kind of having to force stuff up late in games. So, like, I understand some of the context with that. But I would also like to see his conditioning continue to improve, which we'll talk about as we get into some more of these games. Now, I don't know if there's anything super specific else that I wanted to talk about this. I have some clips from some of these games, but in the interest of saving some time, I'm just going to hold on to them, and maybe we can make a video again later this week, because I'm not sure if you said anything about why.
No, I did not. Really. I did not.
Okay. So today's show, we started at 3:30. We're going to keep her moving for John and Claudia from Lombardi Time Brews. John is the host of Lombardi Time Brews. We're starting early today so that we can go and watch their show that starts at 5 o'clock. So that's why we're a little early. So we're going to keep her moving. We'll save some of the video stuff for later in the week, but let's go to Bucks Magic.
Yeah. So first thing I'm going to say is this was a Giannis masterclass. He showed everything on display in this game. The strength, the touch, the footwork, the spin move, the Euro step. I mean, the fighting through contact. I mean, he was impressive. The Magic got Paolo Banchero back. He was out for a while. What was it at Peck, right? Or was it a...
I don't even remember what his...
I forgot what it was. It was something with his upper arm, I think, actually. But anyways, Paolo Banchero is a tremendous young player. So the Magic are going to be a good team with him back. They were a good team without him. They're a good defensive team. So Bucks fought from behind for a lot of this game as well, but ended up prevailing at the end. Giannis 41, 14, and 4. I mean, Jesus.
Yeah. Brett, I got some numbers for you on Goga and Giannis.
Yeah, I'm interested for that. Damian Lillard didn't have the most efficient shooting game, but he came up when we needed it most. The bench, 11 of 25, 3 of 11 from 3, 25 points, 16 rebounds, 6 assists. Those numbers will start to even out. People are freaking out about the bench efficiency over the last couple of games, but it will even out. They were really freaking out after the game that was after this, but we'll talk about that when that comes up. In terms of driving, the Bucks scored 29 points, driving the basketball to the rim. Giannis had 14, Dame had 11. They both shot over 60%, and Chris Middleton scored 4. That equals 29. He shot 100%. So Chris Middleton did a nice job deciding when he wanted to put his head down and get to the rim. So I wanted to give him credit for that. in terms of catch and shoot, Bucks scored 19 points on catch and shoot. That's a little low. But the guy who really was the biggest downfall in this game, Brooke Lopez, 25% on catch and shoots. He was 1 for 3 from 3 and 2 for 5 overall. So he really didn't get that many attempts. So I'm not going to beat him up for it. But he didn't have to shoot because Giannis was scoring. So
doing everything.
That's kind of how that works. In terms of the pull-up game, 32 points. The efficiency was probably not where I would have liked it. There was a couple guys that were shooting in the high 30s and the low 40s. I would like to see that around the 60% range, 50% range. You shoot 50% on pull-ups, I'm talking like a 4 for 8, something like that. I mean, I'm going to be feeling pretty good. that number is definitely one that I'm going to be watching closely over the next couple of weeks. That's where the Bucks can dominate with Giannis and Dame, and Bobby likes to do pull-ups. Chris Middleton loves to pull up. Gary Trent from time to time. So this is going to be an important number going forward here. When the Bucks are right, they're efficient from that area. In terms of paint, Bucks were 100%. 16 total points for the team. Giannis had 14 of them, so he was a menace. He turned into Orlando Shaq down in Orlando and absolutely dominated. Amazing job, honestly, for the Bucks to find Giannis, get him easy attempts, and him to just be able to finish every single thing. The Bucks had 9 missed free throws in this game, 7 of them from Giannis. So that's the one area that will always kind of be the Achilles heel. Yep. As he said, nobody can be perfect. Yeah. He joked about it a couple years ago. Yeah.
God said, handsome, strong, yeah. Can't shoot, handsome.
Yeah. Would love for him to just get around that 65 to 70% mark. If he gets to the 70% mark, then I will have zero complaints about him.
Yeah. If he's between 60 and 70, he can make up for it with a lot of the other things that he does. Yeah. Brett said people can hate Dame here and there, but when we needed him most, he showed up. And the bench, I'm loving the bench mob is here. Trent Jr. played a good part with some shots. I have some stuff on Gary Trent Jr., but Dame and Giannis combined for 70 out of 109 points.
That's insanity.
That's like probably right around 69% of the points. It's probably a little bit less than that, but for the sake of giggles. Looking at three-point shooting, Bucks started with threes on back-to-back possessions on the second and third possessions of the game. Torian Prince started 2 for 2, and the Bucks shot 9 of 25. The surprising part of that isn't that it was 36%, because that's almost dead on with the league average. It's the fact that they only took 25 threes.
Yeah, that's what I thought too.
Kind of strange, but you know, it is what it is. The Bucks, like you brought up, 48 points in the paint. So that's awesome. 13 turnovers, not bad. 12 points off turnovers, that is good. One of the things that people complain about when the Bucks lose is seeding. People keep complaining about, oh, they're going to fall out of this seed. They're going to fall into that seed. They're the 5 seed. Like, with this win, they were in front of Orlando for the 4 seed. They lost to the Knicks later on, and then they were back down to 6. There's a lot of volatility because we're still not even at the halfway point of the season.
Yeah.
So still a lot of volatility in seeding. It's not that big of a deal, especially since we've seen an 8 seed take out a 1 seed as the 1 seed. So really just goes to show that, like, it's not that big of a deal.
I mean, they're going to be back to the 4 seed after tonight anyway, so I'm not really worried.
It's going to – I mean, you're looking at it, a 7-game series, even if you're the worst seed, you get 3 home games. Like, it's – you have to win 1 out of 4 on the road. It's not that serious.
Yep.
Health is easily going to be the bigger – caveat as far as the end of the season goes.
Especially as a Bucks fan, if you don't understand that after the last 2 years, then I got 3 years.
I understand that this isn't like a big deal because the Bucks ended up winning, but Scott Foster called some really late whistles for Orlando. Really annoying. It is what it is, but like, blow the whistle right away. Brett said he'd rather have health. We've seen wasted ones because we didn't have health. I mean, Giannis missed the last 2 playoffs and Chris missed the one before that. So
yeah.
That's where we're at. Now, Brett, I said I had numbers on Goga. If we get to a point where, let's say, the Orlando and the Bucks are the 4 or 5 seeds, Goga Bitadze has no shot against Giannis in a 7-game series.
Not in the playoffs.
No shot.
Hell no.
Doesn't matter. Giannis can give it to him anyway. Bully ball, mid-range, post fade, reverse dunk off of an inbound. Dame's not written on the next step. Giannis was 11 for 15 from the field versus Goga Bitadze.
Oh.
11 of 15.
Oh.
And their other good defender, Jonathan Isaac, who I really like, Giannis was 6 for 6 against him.
Dude, he put him in the rim. Put Isaac in the rim, dude.
He cooked their whole team.
Yeah.
The Magic are a good defensive team, and Giannis cooked everybody.
Efficiently. 19 to 29 is
cooked everybody. Yeah. Giannis's dunks were rated E for everyone. Everyone can get them. Love to see it. he was scoring literally on everybody. Going back to Brett's earlier comment on Gary Trent Jr., I want to give you credit because you've brought up Gary Trent Jr. for like 2 years in a row now, and the Bucks finally got him.
Hell yeah.
So we knew he could score. We knew he could score. That wasn't anything surprising. We knew that was part of his repertoire coming in, but he's defending at a high level, not just a good defender, not just an average defender. He's defending at a high level, and he is going after every loose ball.
Yeah.
That's something that, you know, it's one of those little things. It's an attention to detail thing. He's going after every loose ball. So I really appreciate him for that. And we're going to talk about the absence of Gary Trent Jr. in the next couple of games here. But I want to give Doc Rivers credit for one more thing on this game as well. And it's going zone. Now, it's not necessarily because, you know, Orlando presents such a juggernaut offensive threat. Obviously, they have really good players. Like, Paolo is maybe a future MVP. Cole Anthony, pretty solid player. I actually really like Cole Anthony. Jonathan Isaac, I like Jonathan Isaac too. Now, my reasoning for giving Doc, you know, a tip of the cap for going zone isn't because of the Magic's personnel. It's to give the Bucks rest in a very physical game. Playing zone, it gives you the opportunity to kind of just cover your area. And when the ball is not in your area, you can kind of just kind of stand and you catch your breath.
Yeah.
So in a very physical game, I wanted to give Doc Rivers credit for that, for giving some guys some in-game rest. And it also forced Orlando to use a little bit of the shot clock, which only extends that rest that I was just talking about. So in my mind, very smart move by Doc Rivers going to some zone to let guys catch their breath a little bit on defense.
I like it. Good call out.
All right. Brett said give that man an extension. Gary Trent Jr. is probably not getting an extension. He's going to hit free agency again next year because he took basically like a prove it, maybe I can win a championship deal with the Bucks, to basically audition for a long-term contract in the offseason.
Yeah, he'll probably get re-upped by somebody for 3-4 years.
It's the same thing that Malik Beasley did last year.
Yeah, probably a crazy amount of money. If he stays a good defender, where Malik Beasley kind of got cold at the end and wasn't really a good POA defender. So
As for Ryan Rollins, when do I think he gets a contract? Probably as soon as his two-way threshold is met.
I can see that.
All right. Let's just rip the Band-Aid off on the Knicks. I didn't take tons of notes for this because it's an afternoon game.
Yeah.
NBA, stop doing that shit. Like, the afternoon games suck. They always do. It's not a new thing that the Bucks struggle in the afternoon games. That's why I saw it on the schedule. I'm like, cool. Okay, whatever. It is what it is. Bucks shot 10 of 34 on threes, 29%. Bad three-point shooting continues to correlate with wins and losses. Just is what it is. 14 turnovers is slightly high. 22 points off turnovers is quite high. The Bucks super deep bench, getting some playing time with A.J. Green and Ajax in foul trouble because of Brunson, and then no Gary Trent Jr., so Pat Connaughton and Marjan got a little bit of playing time.
Mm-hmm.
I mentioned earlier with the Spurs game, Damian Lillard seems back. Damian Lillard is back. Going through the Knicks game, his last four games, he's 32 of 63 from the field. That's 51%. And 14 of 29 from the three-point line. That's 48%. Averaging 25.5 points, 4.25 rebounds, 5.75 assists, and only 3.25 turnovers with a steal over the last four games. So I told you guys, give Dame some time on his conditioning after the illness. Dame looks back.
Yeah.
Efficient Chris Middleton out in full force. He was 7-9 from the field, 2-4 from the three-point line, 16 points in 24 minutes to go with 5 assists, 2 steals, and only 2 turnovers. Pat Connaughton was helpful in his filling in for Gary Trent Jr. That's kind of what I alluded to before. Doing a really good job of driving to the basket, actually, I thought. Scored 8 points, had 5 rebounds, 2 assists in 15 minutes. If we get that little bit of Swiss Army knife, you know, small bench boost from Pat, I'm okay with keeping him if nobody wants to trade for him.
Yeah, I agree.
And then lastly, we need Gary Trent Jr., and I'm going to monitor maybe putting A.J. Green in the starting lineup for Torian Prince. I understand that Prince's numbers are better when he's in the starting lineup than when he's on the bench, but I'm curiously monitoring maybe having A.J. Green in the starting lineup instead of Torian Prince. So what do you have from Bucks Knicks?
I don't hate that take, by the way. Although it is kind of nice having AJ Green coming off the bench, and everybody on the other team just like, shit, this guy can shoot 30 footers.
Yeah, right.
He ain't drunk, but he can shoot from 30.
Yeah.
So, this game was tough. Brunson started off on absolute fire, 23 points in the first quarter.
And drew like 9 fouls.
Yeah, he was foul baiting hard. But I thought the Bucks did a nice job for a majority of the first quarter, kind of answering the bell that Brunson was kind of setting. He was kind of setting the pace, and the Bucks were getting layups out of it while they were getting, you know, and ones and some three-pointers. And, you know, that stuff kind of starts to add up, right, over the course of 48 minutes. Yeah. So, I mean, just kind of tough with Ajax in this one, in my opinion, where Brunson was kind of taking advantage of his over-aggressiveness. But that's just an area where Brunson is kind of a savvy scorer. So this is going to sound weird. I don't like losing. I don't like losing to New York. But this was a good learning experience for Ajax.
Absolutely. It's experience. That's the key word is experience.
Yeah, he's a very aggressive guy. He's still very young in his career. He didn't get a lot of playing time last year. He's getting boatloads of learning experience this year, playing a lot, being in the starting lineup. So going against all these different types of scorers, guys who are a little bit bigger and shoot different shots, going against a Jalen Brunson who has to be savvy because he's a smaller guy. It's a good thing for Ajax to kind of go through that and learn and then look at the film and get better, right? Because Ajax over the next 5 years is going to be really important for the Bucks being a lockdown defender. So I'm just kind of piggybacking off of what you said last week, talking about that Nets game when you said he was too important to leave the game. And I agree with that. You know, that was a very good thing to bring up. So this is a good learning experience for him. If you're looking at efficiency, before I give my last point here, on the drive, we had 4 players that were very efficient. We scored 20 points off the drive. Catch and shoot, 29 points. And this is the area where it's a make or miss league, right? And guys didn't make their shots, and the Knicks did. The Knicks shot 43.9% from the three-point line. They had 18 threes. The Bucks had 10 threes. They were plus 24. We lost this game by 34 points. So the plus 24 right there, then you add the free throws. They had plus 10 on free throws. That's your 34 points right there. Pull-up game, Chris Middleton was literally the only standout. He shot 80%. He had 9 of the 19 points for the team, and Chris Middleton looked very, very good in this one. You could take positives away from a loss. We've been saying that for multiple years now at this point.
Yep.
Giannis still looked good. He still looked dominant at times, and Chris Middleton looked really, really good. Damian Lillard's conditioning, to your point, looked really good, and he was getting up some shots, and he made some tough shots. Points in the paint, Bucks have been pretty efficient on it for the last week. We scored 24 points. The thing that was really tough in this game, now they got off to a hot start in the first quarter. Obviously Brunson was going insane. He had to leave this game and still ended the game with 41, I believe, or 43, whatever it was.
Something like that. I thought it was 41, but.
So, you know, they got off to the hot start in the first quarter. Then they came out in the third quarter and they went on a 10-0 run to start the third quarter and got the game to 85-62. And that was kind of the point where the Bucks kind of never recovered from it. And you know what? That's okay. It's not okay if you're Giannis. He talked about it after the game, talking about they need to play better against the top seeds, and I agree with that. But, you know, I think every once in a while you need to take your licks and you lick your wounds and you learn from it. So
that's why I said earlier in the season, like, I hated that all of our Cavs and Celtics games were so early. Early in the season, because, like, now we have very few measuring stick games throughout the rest of the year. Like, I think we play the Cavs, like, one more time.
I don't understand why they made us play a division rival that much that early anyways.
I don't know. And at that point, like, we should do what I've been saying with NBA to kind of rule out the back-to-backs is just start making these series. Yeah. Just start making them series. If you play a team multiple times, play them twice in a row.
Yeah.
And just – I don't give a shit if you alternate it. Like, with the West and the East, I don't care if both teams, you know, get home game. Like, play 2 home games this year, play 2 home games, you know, next year. And alternate it that way as a way to get rid of back-to-backs, because as we go into the Bucks and Kings game, Chris Middleton was out for the Kings game. Brett, take care. As Chris Middleton was out for the Kings game because it's a back-to-back. The Bucks are playing like their 9th back-to-back of the first half of the season.
Yeah.
That number is not accurate. It's close. It's not the exact number of back-to-backs they've played, but it's close.
Yeah.
and Chris Middleton is sitting out because they were going to play. He was going to play either one or the other of the back to backs. So they chose to sit him out Tuesday to give him one more day of rest going from Sunday to Wednesday. So last night's game, Bucks shot 17 of 45 on threes. That's 37.8%. That's pretty decent. If you look outside of AJ Green, who was the let it fly guy last night, was 4 for 12. The rest of the team was 13 of 33. That's 39.4%.
Yeah.
So I'm not saying that to disparage AJ Green, but he took almost 25% of the Bucks threes last night. Actually, a little bit more than 25% of their threes by himself.
I mean, he is our shooter. So
he's out there to let it fly. But yeah. I'm just giving you like the lay of the land on the rest of the team outside of AJ Green. Right. Dame was 5 for 8. Torian Prince was 3 for 4. It was good to see him bounce back. Turnovers. Only nine turnovers on a night where they assisted on 32 of their 49 made field goals. That's essentially 2/3 of their field goals were assisted. I love that.
Hell yeah.
And only 9 turnovers to go with it. That tells you that ball was moving. And moving well and efficiently. Only allowed 14 points off those 9 turnovers, which is okay. Two things that are not being talked about enough as far as the Bucks superstars go. One is Giannis' passing. And two is Damian Lillard's defense.
No, hey. Agreed on both.
When we do some video breakdown stuff, I'm going to have clips of both of these. But they are not being talked about enough. The stuff that Giannis is doing, people are in awe of all the shit that Jokic does with passing. People are not giving the same energy to Giannis. And they Giannis is doing some crazy shit with his passes.
Yeah, he was.
And then Damian Lillard. There was one possession where Keegan Murray was trying to back him down and Damian Lillard just put the clamps on him. And Murray couldn't get a shot off. Damian Lillard is 6'2". Keegan Murray is 6'8".
Yeah.
And Dame put the clamps on him.
Yeah.
It's been kind of a tough year for the Damian Lillard can't defend people.
It has.
So we'll talk about that more when I get some video out. Other couple things. It's good to see Brook Lopez bounce back offensively. Finished with 21 points. He was 8 of 15 from the field, 3 of 7 from 3. That's good efficiency there. Last thing before we talk about Giannis, I want to give credit to Pat Connaughton for being a true professional.
Yep.
To have a greatly reduced role, but still come in when Gary Trent Jr. is out to step into that Swiss Army knife role that I wanted to see him occupy this season. And to come in and give 5 points, 5 assists, and 3 rebounds with no turnovers. Like I said, when it comes down to it, you can't ask a lot more out of him,
no.
Regardless of what you feel about his contract. I mean, like I said, if people don't want to trade for him, I'm okay with keeping him because he hasn't played very much over the last 5-6 games outside of the Knicks game when guys were in foul trouble. And he comes in and gives you 5, 5, and 3 with no turnovers. I'm okay with keeping him because if there's, you know, God forbid, an injury to Gary Trent Jr., that's, you know, more than just the injury that's keeping him out tonight's game as well. Pat Connaughton could come in super clutch.
And you know he's going to hustle. You were giving credit to Gary Trent Jr. for hustling. You know Pat's going to hustle. That's why the one thing that he brings to every game, right?
That's why we love him.
Yep.
So let's use Giannis as the transition from me to you. So Giannis has the 33, 11 rebounds, 13 assists. I want to give Giannis credit for only having 3 turnovers. Turnovers have been an issue for him at times this season. So for him to have 13 assists and only 3 turnovers is wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
Also had 2 blocks. This was his 50th career triple-double. And the Kings shot 1 for 9 against him offensively.
He's going for...
No one plans for hair loss, but through Hims, you can take the next step with confidence. Access treatments made with clinically proven ingredients like finasteride and minoxidil to stop hair loss and regrow hair in 3 to 6 months. No waiting rooms, no hoops, just ingredients with a track record of results. You shouldn't have to go out of your way to feel like yourself. Hims brings expert care straight to you. With 100% online access to personalized treatments that put your goals first. For simple online access to personalized and affordable care for hair loss, ED, weight loss, and more, visit hims.com/Hail Mary. That's hims.com/Hail Mary for your free online visit. hims.com/Hail Mary. Individual results may vary. Based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription required. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
The DPOI was here, I think.
Shit, it's going to be hard to keep him out of the MVP conversation.
He just filled a fifth.
Like this, putting up triple doubles and playing like lockdown defense. He's going to be in the conversation for both.
He should be. Absolutely. He should be.
Yeah.
So
go ahead.
As Tyler said, 50th career triple double for Giannis. Could be 51st. It's his fifth this year. Really should be sixth. For some reason, we raise a banner for a game that doesn't go on your stats. Doesn't make sense to me. That he had a triple double against OKC in the NBA Cup Final. For anybody who's kind of wondering what I'm talking about, but yeah, he was tremendous last night. And I did text you. You were talking about some passes he made. Right? He made one pass last night, and I was like, holy shit!
Was it the behind the back flip to AJ Green in the corner?
Yeah, and I texted you. I said 34 is good, and you were like, he's all right. Obviously, being sarcastic, but it was like, dude, for him to just like be as physical as he is, grab the rebounds that he does, go and dunk the way he does, have to pull up mid range, pass like that. I mean, he is not getting the respect he deserves. And Tyler and I were just on a thread earlier yesterday, late last night actually, about somebody saying that SGA is underrated. No, I don't think people are respecting the greatness of Giannis.
Yeah.
For him developing a mid range and to be the playmaker he is at 7 feet tall is impressive.
Yeah,
it really is. He's a one of one. He's a unicorn in my opinion.
Yeah.
People talk that way about Wemby, and they're kind of forgetting about Giannis, which makes it kind of feel disrespect in my opinion. Damian Lillard 5 for 8 from three. He also got his fifth block last night. That block he had was his fifth block. For a guy who's 6'2" and labeled as a bad defender, tremendous job by Dame.
Layup.
He's a competitor. At the end of the day, I want people to think of Damian Lillard as a competitor. He's been competing his ass off on both ends of the floor this year. Bucks dominated the first quarter. They had a spurt of 21-2 in the first quarter and absolutely took this game over. It got laughable at some points. We were doubling them up. We were talking before our practice. We were watching it. We were up 52-26. And we were like, this game's over if we're playing at the Y, because we doubled you up, right? On the drive, Bucks scored 26 points. Ryan Rollins was fantastic. He scored 7 points on 75% from the field. And this is a discussion we can have about Pat Connaughton as well. You were giving him respect for being a guy that got moved to a much lesser role. But there's often times where they pan over to the bench and Pat Connaughton is giving Ryan Rollins some advice and talking to him through the game. And Ryan Rollins is all ears. So credit to Ryan Rollins for being able to be teachable, be coachable, and credit to Pat Connaughton for, you know, I could actually see him as a bench coach in the future. I'm not going to lie to you.
That's a great call.
He's been amazing coaching up Ryan Rollins and all the other players. He's always the best cheerleader on the floor. He always cheers for his teammates to succeed, and he comes in, he does his job. So we will not accept any Pat Connaughton slander on this show. If you're going to slander him, get the hell out of here. That's how I feel about that. The Bucks scored 38 points on catch and shoot opportunities. As I talk like an adult now, they didn't have great efficiency, but the Bucks defense showed up in spurts, and it was good enough for them to get the win. Pull-up game, Dame looked like Dame. He had 13 points, shot 62.5% on pull-ups. He was back last night. This was the Dame
he needed. Last night where I was just like.
Yeah, that three-pointer he had, I was like.
Dude, that was disgusting. And that was on Keon Ellis, who's a good defender.
Yes, he is. He's a and very good defender.
He's 4 inches taller than Dame.
He was giving Keon Ellis fits last night. Want to give a call-out in the first quarter. He was absolutely pissing Ellis off. Ellis came into the game like. We're on a 7-game win streak. I'm feeling myself, man. I'm all dripped out. Damian Lillard said, come here, young blood.
The buck starts here.
Yeah. walk with me. Walk with me. Bobby missed one in the paint, but other than that, the Bucks were very efficient in the paint. I've been very happy with their ability to break down the defense and find guys in the paint, and the guys are finishing their shots. So if we finish our shots in the paint, we get good open looks from the three-point line and catch and shoot opportunities, and they make them. It really is just about the Bucks' efficiency on defense is really what it comes down to, and if they show up.
Yeah.
You want to read that?
Nope.
Okay.
All right. Anything else you wanted to say about the Kings game?
Bucks kick some butt. Hopefully they do it again today.
Yeah. 47 points is their new quarter high for any game this season. Their previous high was 42, so that first quarter was setting the tone. If we're looking at the Knicks game and then the first quarter of this game, that was a tone setter, kind of a lookout, not even to the league or just to the Kings, but to themselves. All right, so we're going to bring in – almost bringing Mike. What's next for the Bucks? They have tonight against the Magic again. Then they have Friday against Orlando, and they have Sunday against Philly. So we will have three Bucks games next Wednesday. So now we can bring in Mike. And we'll switch to Badgers and bring in Mike. Mike, welcome back. You got yourself muted currently, so there you go.
I like how we got done with the Bucks segment at 414. Nicely done, Tyler.
Nice. Totally drew that up on purpose. It's exactly how we planned that.
Yeah.
We played 415. So now
sometimes the universe answers your call, right?
So now we're on Badgers time. And we're going to start with Badgers in Minnesota. We'll start with Mike with the guards. Welcome in. And what did you take away from Badgers in Minnesota?
Can't hear you.
Might be starting with still no Mike. All right, Jake, start with the bigs. We'll let Mike get his volume figured out.
All right, so first of all, got to ask you guys a question. Do you know there's only one Big Ten team that is under 500 currently this season? Do you know who that team is?
Is it No, it's not Michigan. They have a good coach. Is it Northwestern?
It's Minnesota.
Minnesota
is the only Big Ten
team. I should have just guessed that, but I was trying to be.
I know. Minnesota is the only Big Ten team. So, your season is done with the Vikings. Your season is done with the Golden Gophers. Your basketball teams suck. Your winters are cold. Your basketball team sucks. You are about to hate your life for the next, 4 months. I'm so
happy. And your team that was just in the finals looks bad. Or in the conference finals looks bad.
Dude, they traded Karl Anthony Towns, and now he's third on MVP Kia Ladderboard right now. That, my God. Talk about fumbling the bag.
You traded for Julius Randle on purpose. You deserve all the bad things.
I agree. You traded Karl Anthony Towns, guy's athletic and shoots threes, for Julius Randle.
And Dante
he does not fit in this era. He doesn't. He fits in the era of the 2000s. 2007 era.
Yeah.
That's where he would have been monster.
Yeah.
Not 2025. But I digress. The Minnesota Golden Gophers are under 500. They suck. And the Wisconsin Badgers absolutely whooped their ass 80-59. In terms of the bigs, Nolan Winter played 21 minutes, 8 rebounds, 6 assists, or 6 assists, 6 rebounds and 1 assist. 6 assists would be impressive for Nolan Winter. 2 of 4 from the field and 1 for 2 from 3. People are seeing his scoring go down and Stephen Crowell's go up. Stephen Crowell had 18 points, 5 rebounds, 3 assists. His handprints were all over this game. He was very impressive in this one. I love that both guys can score. If Crowell doesn't have it, he gives it to Nolan Winter. If Nolan Winter doesn't have it, he gives it to Crowell. Crowell, 6 of 7 from the field, 2 of 2 from deep. He looked impressive. This was the Stephen Crowell that could absolutely transform this Badgers team. And we're going to talk a lot about Greg Gard because I want to today. And Greg Gard, I got to give a shout out to my cousin Brennan real quick. So I was talking with my cousin Brennan earlier because there was a post about Greg Gard. So I'm going to read that post real quick. And then I'm going to read my cousin's comments. So there's a post talking about Greg Gard. He got it the next game, but he's up to 200 wins, and I said that people need to give Greg Gard some grace, right? And I have a point that I'm going to get to with Stephen Crowell about this. He said Gard he's a great guy, and he cares about his players and all of their team personnel. He wins. It may not be at the level some fans want, but I've come to learn in my old age that most Wisconsin sports fans suck sometimes. Like, there are so many good coaches that haven't won a damn thing. I'll use Mark Few as an example. He wins, never a big one, and Few has much better talent to work with. And I agree with that. Now, the reason why I bring up that comment is because earlier in the season, when Crowell had a bad game where he – what did he play, 19 minutes, I believe? And he had zero rebounds?
Zero rebounds, yep. That was the Illinois game.
Yeah, he challenged Craig Crowell.
Yeah.
He directly challenged him, went at him as a man – and not in a disrespectful way, but he went at him and he challenged him and he told him, you need to be better.
Yeah.
There's no other options. You have to be better. And Crowell has responded like a grown man. So credit to Stephen Crowell, credit to Greg Gard, knowing what guys he can get on their tail. And it has completely flipped this season.
Can I just jump in really quick on that? Yeah, that is what constructive criticism looks like.
Yes, 100%.
Constructive criticism is not going, Stephen Crowell sucks, zero rebounds and 7 feet, useless. That is not constructive criticism. That's just flat pessimism.
I agree.
So what Greg Gard did was constructive criticism.
Yep.
Okay, continue.
So I'm just going to wrap it up real quick here. Xavier Amos. Dude, I was very close to my brain said Adrian Amos. I was very close to saying that. 4 points, 3 rebounds, and an assist. He didn't have the most efficient game shooting, but I love that he not scared to shoot it. I do actually love that about him. Some guys, you know, they come in and they're gun shy. He comes in and he's ready to fire. So I appreciate that about him. Gilmore only played 7 minutes in this game, recorded 1 assist, but it is what it is. And Hodges played 2 minutes, didn't record a single stat. So that's what's up with that. We only allowed 22 points in the paint. We scored 22 ourselves, and we out rebounded them by 1. So, good job, Badgers. Bigs.
I wanted to give Xavier Amos some credit on something you brought up. Carter Gilmore only playing 7 minutes. Badgers were kind of throwing everybody they could at Dawson Garcia, who was scoring really well in the first half. He had 14 points in the first half. I think that's why Xavier Amos got a little more playing time to match that athleticism. Not that, you know, Carter Gilmore can't defend anybody athletic. Like, he did a really good job against Ace Bailey, against Rutgers, but just Greg Gard trying different things. And I wanted to give Xavier Amos credit for working his ass off against Garcia.
Yeah, good call.
Looking at the wings, John Blackwell didn't really run any offensive sets for him for like the first 6.5 minutes of the game, which I thought was kind of odd, but it is what it is. Other than that, he played kind of more of a secondary scoring role. The Badgers went through Stephen Crowell a lot and just generally moved the ball very well. So I'm not super upset about anything as far as John Blackwell is concerned. Not his most efficient game. He was 3 for 10 from the field and 1 for 5 from the 3-point line. Did make both of his free throws. Finished with 9 points. His first game not in double figures since November 30th.
Wow.
So John Blackwell's been very consistent. I'm not going to freak out over having, you know, one clunker of a game here and there. In addition to his 9 points, he had 4 rebounds, 2 assists, and 2 steals, and only 1 turnover, which is a very key thing with John Blackwell, is limiting those turnovers. Same goes for John Tanje. He got a little bit banged up in the first half, came in, banged a 3 on the next possession, so good for him. I've talked about this before, and I'm going to give credit again. John Tanje makes an impact in the rebounding category. He is a very important rebounding guard, and I appreciate him for that. In the second half, made a really great transition pass to Kamari McGee with the left hand, helped put the Badgers on a 7-0 run. The Badgers won this game, you know, somewhat handily. They were down 15-5 early in this game.
They were.
And, you know, came back and ran, scored 17-5 run, and flipped the table, Minnesota. And then the second half got kind of wild. Minnesota scored first to give themselves a 31-30 lead, and the Badgers ran off the following runs. 7-0, which grew to 13-2, which grew to 23-8, which grew to 40-12, which had a 17-1 run baked into it, and grew to 44-14 before the mass substitutions came in. 44-14 after Minnesota took a 1-point lead. Badgers went on to outscore them by 30.
What would Pat Bev say that run was?
Belt to ass.
Hell yeah.
Damn. Second half, I wanted to give credit to Nolan Winter for working really hard on both ends. He helped slow down Garcia and himself scored 7 points in 5 minutes. And then lastly, on the wings, I claimed Marcus Silver as a wing just because he plays on the wing more, even though he's probably a power forward. He plays more like a small forward.
Yeah.
He had back-to-back threes in the second half and grabbed a couple rebounds. So good for Marcus Silver to get a little bit of playing time. And now I'll let Mike talk about the guards.
Can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you.
Sorry about that.
We can hear you.
You're fired.
caught me off guard a little bit. First off, I was going to give a quick shout out to Monty Ball before.
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
I know it's football related, but shout out to Monty Ball. Going to be inducted in the College Football Hall of Fame. So just want to throw that out there. I'll get right into it. You guys brought up a couple points from what I was getting everything together here. But in this game, this is the first game without Max Klesmit this year. Unfortunately, he rolled his ankle pretty good. I've done that myself a few times, and it's definitely not pleasant
at
all.
It sucks. And it doesn't look like that bad, but it sucks.
It's a pain in the ass, to say the least, to get back to full strength.
Yeah.
So I think that is going – I'm going to bring that up here, too, as we go to the next game. But, talking about this game specifically, beating Minnesota is always great. We won the last 21 out of the 26 meetings with them now. It's always good to be proud of your rival. And in terms of this game, I'll be the first to admit, in the first 10 to 15 minutes of this game, I think – with the new lineup and everything, I did think the Badgers got a little disjointed.
That's fair.
With defensive assignments and a slower pace. When's the last time Badger fans can say we actually play a team that had a slower pace than us, right? So Minnesota is ranked 360 out of 364 in KenPom tempo rating rankings. So that an insane stat line. You would have thought that would have been Wisconsin, but no, that's actually Minnesota, believe it or not. jumping into it, Kamari McGee for his first career start as a Badger. I don't think he could really ask for too much more. He played 33 minutes. That was the most out of anybody on the team in this game. He had 15 points, 5 rebounds, 3 assists, and 3 steals and 2 assists. I don't know if there's – I know we got other guys that have made huge jumps to this team, obviously, but – in terms of, production and whatnot, I don't know. You can't really argue too much with Kamari McGee. He's made one hell of a jump, and he's clearly a big part of this team. I mean, we did see it last year when he was out with his ankle injury for a bunch of games, and it definitely, I think, played a big part in why we went on that losing streak. Getting right back to it, he played one hell of a game for his first start. I don't think, you couldn't ask for too much more. And then Jack Janicki got a little bit of playing time. He did look lost a little bit out there. This was a couple times when I did question a little bit what he was doing. But, he's still a spark plug for this team. He got 16 minutes, 4 points, 2 assists, and 2 steals. And, that was more so the main points I wanted to point out for the guards. You guys already touched base on this already, but I also wanted to give Xavier Amos his flowers. I think you could actually argue this was his best game he's played so far as a Badger, because defensively, especially in the beginning, I'm not going to downgrade these guys by any means, but we had Nolan Winter on Dawson Garcia for a bit. We had Carter Gilmore, and it seemed like Dawson Garcia had his way for the most part in the beginning of things.
Yep.
But then, Xavier Amos came in. He's obviously a different body type. When he got matched up on Dawson Garcia, the next 5 attempts Dawson Garcia took, they were misses, right? So obviously had some sort of an effect on him. So props to, Xavier Amos. I definitely wanted to call that out. So, it's clearly now that it is clear, this team is a 3-point shooting team, right? I'm going to talk about the next game, too, on how much of a difference that makes. But, in the first half, we're 3 of 13. Then in the second half, we shoot over 53% from 3. So, Coach Guard's talked about it. He's talked about how much the 3-point game has evolved even, in the college basketball landscape. He's made a point that his team's going to be about that. So I think that pretty much correlates in terms of what he wants to do with the with this team this year. And you know, sometimes it's your night shooting the ball, and sometimes it's not. So yeah, we're moving on to Ohio State.
The things that I love, just as the game is itself is concerned, is the ball movement has been really great. And watching the games, the Badgers are the aggressor on every 50-50 and loose ball.
Yeah.
Those are two things that I don't ever want to change, regardless of what other changes Greg Gard makes offensively or pace or anything like that. If you keep ball movement and 50-50 balls and loose balls, being aggressive on them, those are great traits to have of any basketball team, any level, anytime.
Yep.
Now, as we transition into the Ohio State game, something that I've noticed over the last four or five games for the Badgers is they do a good job of, as a team, rotating defensively. But something is a little, very slim amount of concern is they're giving just a little bit too much help off of shooters.
Yeah.
And we've seen it kind of transition into a lot of threes being made by their opponents. But something, like I said, I'm not super concerned with, but something I'm going to monitor going forward as a potential improvement of not letting shooters have too much space when you're making your defensive rotations. So let's go to the Ohio State game. Jake, you can start with the bigs again. What stood out to you from last night's game?
Wish I was talking about wings in this game, because then I'd have a lot to say about our guy, John Tanjay. But I'm going to let you cover that, buddy. Nolan Winter, 4.6 rebounds and an assist. He was able to find a way to be efficient without making a shot. So that's credit to him, honest to God. That's something in basketball where Tyler and I know we have talked about this before with the Bucks as well. We've talked about it with Bobby kind of challenging him. We've talked about it with Pat. We talked about it with pretty much everybody, every player that's played for the Bucks over the last three, 4 years, is that scoring isn't everything. You can find a way to impact the game, especially a basketball game, in a lot of different ways. And I talked about the Badgers, maybe their weakest point is rebounding, and he did a nice job rebounding last night, grabbing six rebounds. The Badgers, I almost said the Bucks because I was trying to talk about them.
You brought it up. You did it to yourself.
they did a nice job keeping the rebounding close. If they keep the rebounding close in every game, you know they're not going to turn the ball over too much, even though they did have 12 last night. They're usually pretty good with moving the ball. With the offense that they run, they're good at pushing the pace, and they're good, and they take a lot of threes, as Mike said. So, you know, they're going to find a way to score, and they're going to take care of the basketball. If they can find a way to be physical enough and grab rebounds and control that part of the game, that's when this team can be an upper echelon Big Ten team, which, by the way, the Big Ten this year is going to be on crack. It is going to be insane. Look at the standings right now. It's insane
right now, just to look.
I think there's three teams on top that are 5-0. I think it's Michigan State. Who else is it, Mike? Michigan. Is Michigan still undefeated?
I don't think anyone's.
Yeah. Yeah. In conference, Michigan State and Michigan are 5-0. Purdue is 5-1. Illinois is 5-1. Oregon is ranked number 13. They're 4-2.
Illinois.
Badgers are 4-2. They're in sixth place at 4-2. The Badgers are a damn good team to be in sixth place in their conference. I mean, this conference is going to be insane. We're going to have some big boy matchups coming up here. Tyler mentioned it before about the Bucks, that the Bucks don't really have a lot of measuring stick games for the rest of the year because we played most of our big-time conference foes already early in the season. The Badgers is kind of opposite. We got a lot of measuring stick
games. Badgers have a gauntlet in February.
It's going to be fun. I'm not saying like it's going to be, you know, it's going to be tough, but it is going to be tough, but it's going to be fun. It's going to be good basketball. I'm really excited for college basketball this year, especially in the Big Ten. It's going to be good. Going back to the bigs, Stephen Crowell played 28 minutes in this one, and he was the big man, in my opinion. He's been scoring the ball at a really, really efficient rate over the last couple of weeks. 14.7 rebounds, which reminds me, I wanted to make a graphic of Stephen Crowell. Graphic of Crowell. And 5 of 10 from the field. He shot 3 3-pointers. Didn't make one, but I was like, dude, you're shooting 3 threes. I love that, man.
Presenting himself as a threat. That's all I want.
Hell yeah. So good for him. And then Carter Gilmore, he got a little bit more run in this one. Played 28 minutes, 5 points, 3 rebounds, and an assist. Cashed another 3-pointer. I don't know what it is, man. When he makes a three, man, it's like the prettiest 3-pointer of the game. Like he straight up just nothing but net this one. And he competed on defense. Amos and Gilmore kind of flip-flop roles over the last two games, and Gilmore answered the bell in this one.
Yeah. Looking at the wings, kind of a tale of two halves for both guys. John Blackwell, the first half was his. 9 points. John Blackwell scored the Badgers' first 9 points, and he did it in three different ways, scoring at the three-point line, scoring in the mid-range, and hitting two free throws. Now, free throws is my biggest sticking point with John Blackwell. He made 4 out of 6, but the two that he missed were not good times to miss free throws. Thankfully, he got saved by the hand of Stephen Crowell tapping one out, yeah, and the Badgers were able to get a reload. But the last two with a second and a half left in the game, he wanted to make the first one and miss the second one, and he did the opposite. And, you know, it is what it is. The last play ended up being out of bounds, and it wouldn't have counted anyways because he airballed it. So no harm there. But, yeah, got to make your clutch free throws, John. And that's something that John Tanjay did. So he was 3 for 7 from the field, but 10 for 10 from the free throw line. I put it in my notes in all capitals. John Tanjay was an absolute rock for the Badgers. He was the reliable guy that, you know, if he got fouled, he was making both free throws. He led the charge in the second half when the game got close. He was at one point where he scored 7 straight points, had a crazy reverse poster dunk over a big man. Like, I only had about a 3-year stretch where I could dunk regularly, but there's no way that I was going to be trying a reverse dunk like that on somebody's head.
Yeah, dog was like 7'1", and he said, fuck it. Bam!
That was wild, and I think it gave the Badgers enough juice to carry out the game. Now,
yeah,
first half, Ohio State just couldn't score. It was partially the Badgers' defense, partially they couldn't make shots, and partially that they had a lot of turnovers. Not something I expected to continue for the second half. I didn't see 37-20 at halftime after the Badgers went on an 8-0 run to end the half and expect that this game was going to end 74-40.
Yeah.
So Ohio State did a good job coming out of halftime on a 10-2 run, and halfway through the second half had the lead down to 4. It's not – sorry, and Mike, I'm not throwing you under the bus. It's not a shitting-the-bed situation in my mind. Big Ten games, they're all going to be tough. I don't expect any team to go away, especially for them to cut the lead down by 8 points in the first couple minutes of the second half.
Yeah.
I will say I'm going to give credit to Greg Gard for playing the free throw game late. When you're the best free throw shooting team in the country, you can play that game.
Yeah, lean not into it.
I've been able to claim over the last couple seasons.
I agree.
It's been kind of a rough go at the free throw line for the last 3, 4, 5 years. But this year they're shooting about 17-18% higher than they did last year.
I love Tyler Wall, but he's not a great free throw shooter. And,
right.
Chucky wasn't super reliable either.
Right. So, you know, it's a good thing to be able to adapt to your personnel by Greg Gard and know that you can play the free throw game reliably.
Agreed.
So, Mike, what did you take away from the guards?
Well, I guess first off, Jake, I forgot if you did mention this because I went MIA, but happy 200th win for Greg Gard after the Ohio State win. Yeah, sorry. I don't know if you mentioned that or not when you were talking.
I kind of hinted at it in the Minnesota game. I didn't want to, like, say the official stat.
You can give him the official congrats on this one.
Yeah. 10 years, 200 wins. Awesome. Yeah.
I think he's, sixth, seventh, or eighth all-time Big Ten winning percentage as a coach. From Big Ten, when their all-time wins as a Big Ten coach, so that alone justifies itself. I think that's pretty impressive. But no, this got ended up being too close for comfort. It was one of those nights where we couldn't shoot from the outside, which clearly it is part of our game. I'm also gonna say, I think in recent teams past, within the last even 3 to 4 years, I think this is personally a game that we don't end up pulling off. And I only say that because we don't go 25 or 28 from the free throw line, right? We have certain guys on the team that just simply couldn't shoot free throws, you know, and it would cost us some games. So that's what, to counter all that, that's why I would say, okay, this is why this team, you know, on an ugly shooting night, they are capable of still getting the job done at the end of the day for doing things such as shooting good from the free throw line. And Tyler already addressed it with the whole John Blackwell situation. I'm not going to do it anymore. We'll go off of there. But no, as far as the guards, I'm going to say right now, I don't think Max Klesman is 100%. Kind of reiterating when I talked in the Minnesota game, rolling your ankle is definitely is a pain in the ass, and it is so hard to come back to that and be 100%. It was something I feared going into this game. And that's actually probably something that I'm going to fear going into even USC on Saturday and UCLA after that. He still ended up playing 30 minutes, which is something I also questioned a little bit, but he had 4 points, two rebounds, one assist. Obviously, he's a big part of our defense, defensively, schematically, in that retrospect. The 1-3 that he did have in the second half, we were pretty stagnant offensively, so thank God he did hit that. It put us up 8 with about 7.5 minutes to go. But I do think going forward, you're looking – I'm going to talk about him here shortly. You're looking at now Kamari McGee, who only got 16 minutes in this game. I was pretty far against that because coming off of a game in which, he had 15, 5, and 3, getting 33 minutes, he's been – just as consistent as anybody on this team, as far as I'm concerned, in terms of production. In 16 minutes, he had 9 points and 1 rebound, 3 of 5 shooting. To give you some context, and this is just 3-point percentage now, in his freshman year at Green Bay, 27.5%, 27-91 from 3, 18.5% his sophomore year at Wisconsin, 5 of 27 from 3. Last year, 27.3%, only 3 of 11 from 3. This year, 55.6% from 3.
Damn.
20 of 36. That is absolutely insane. His shot selection, I think he's got the best shot selection and awareness on this team. He's been elite with that. His decision-making in that regard, I think, has been elite. He takes every look that he gets for the most part has been, it's been justified in my view. I simply think he should have played more last night. 16 minutes is too low as far as I'm concerned at this point, especially now that I know that Max is coming back from injury. I don't think we necessarily need to play him 30 minutes at least for this next week, perhaps.
Yep, I agree.
And again, Jake already talked about it. The Big Ten is going to be a gauntlet. We all know that. But I still think that even these next two games going at USC, at UCLA, I fully expect Kamari McGee to get 20 minutes plus. I think he deserves it. Like I said, and his consistency night after night after night has been elite in my view. So, but as far as the rest of the game goes, again, the free throws I wanted to call out. In years past, I don't think this is a game we could have ended up pulling out because of we simply don't shoot free throws as good.
Or number one, play it straight up.
In terms of percentage, I want to say. Jake touched on it, but I do wish, as far as the last 4 to 5 minutes of this game, I would have liked to see Stephen Crowell actually get the ball more. This was one of the more favorable matchups in my view, which he could have, made a tear on and probably dropped 20 points, to be honest. What I did not like, some of the things that I did want to call out, this is a game that we had 6 assists total in this game. Last week, we had double, triple that in a game, right? So I did think we got a little away from that a little bit. And then what was I going to say? And then the one thing I also wanted to call out too, when it was, a 1 to 3 point game, these last couple minutes, we kind of got back to our old ways in terms of running the shot clock down all the way down to, the last couple seconds. And then we put up a couple jump shots in the last couple seconds. I think Blackwell put up a kind of a questionable shot. And then Max Klesman jacked a corner three that wasn't the greatest look in my view, but I would have liked to see us get away from that. So going forward, but this is one of those games that, we just had to grind out and get done. I'm glad we got it done at home. And I can't wait for the kids to come back because the Kohl Center's been pretty quiet.
I'm gonna rebuttal one thing. And I'm not, disagreeing with anything you said because I agree with you. But this was kind of one of those games where the Badgers got out to a huge lead and they were kind of going in coasting mode where they're just trying to shorten the game. That's why I think they were trying to run the shot clock down a little bit. But, you know, it's hard to turn it back on when you go into to cruise control, right? And that's kind of what happened in this game with Ohio State punching, trying to chip away at that lead. And then the Badgers were kind of like, oh, shit, they're only down eight. We gotta turn this back on a little bit. And John Tanjay was the guy they looked to when they wanted to get in a one-on-one situation. He made a big-time three off a good ball rotation, and he made a bunch of free throws in the clutch. So, you know, I know that the assist number doesn't look great, but that's really what I kind of took away from the second half of this game is they were trying to turn it back on, and it's hard to do that. I mean, we've all been in those situations, you know, we played sports in our lives, whether it be pickup ball or high school basketball or high school football. Like, when you go into coast mode and then the other team gets on fire, it's like, oh, God, we got to get amped up again.
Yeah, you got to wake back up and lock back in.
Yeah, that's hard to do, you know. So I'm not trying to make that as an excuse because I agree. You got to just run your offense until they're dead. Keep the foot on the throat, which I think is the point that you're trying to get at. But that's what I think happened last night. Also, I do think that they should have played Kamara McGee more. He could have been a spark plug when the offense was kind of dead because he is a true point guard and would have got the ball movement a little bit better, and he's aggressive at defense. So I think that would have been the one thing I would have went against guard last night, played him a little bit more.
I went and tried to find the stat you were looking for, Mike. I think I got it.
Yeah.
Greg Gard is now 200-110 at Wisconsin, including 108-72 in the conference at 600. His conference win percentage ranks eighth best among Big Ten coaches of the last 45 years.
Okay, that's what it was. Yeah.
Justin said, today's big question is tomato or apple? Oh, look, it's strawberry.
That's never going to die now. Thanks, Justin. Mike has no context on this, but Justin sent a tomato last night after a joke that Tyler made, and I thought it was an apple. So here we are.
That was good times.
It was pretty funny.
So Badgers have two games between today and next Wednesday. Yeah. They play UCLA and USC on Saturday and Tuesday. So we will have two games for the Badgers next week. It's getting close-ish to Brewer season, so we're not quite yet to pitchers and catchers reporting. We're still about a month away from that yet. But it's going to be time to start thinking about the Brewers soon. Other than that, we're going to get out of here. And we want to make sure if you are watching us, please go watch Lombardi Time Brews. They're going to be recapping the Eagles game. It is their final show tonight. So please go watch Lombardi Time Brews. They are friends of the show. John and Claudia are awesome people. We've become good friends with them over the last couple of years. We've collaborated with them multiple times in person and virtually. So we're going to go watch their show. They start in about 15 minutes. So we want to show them some love on what is their final show. Other than that, thank you everybody who came to comment on our show and watch our show and continue doing so. We are not retiring, but again, we wish the best for John and Claudia. And Mike, Jake, we will see you guys next week.
Peace out. Go Bucks, go Badgers.
Is there?
It was an apple.